Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 18th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are a potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, in the fall of 2015, Dr. David Worthington, a research professor from Virginia Commonwealth University, discovered a breakthrough in medical technology that was guaranteed to change the way we treat chronic disease. Now, according to Dr. Worthington, if you followed his simple protocol, you could drastically lower your risk of heart attack, improve your sleep, reduce your pain, blood pressure, and anxiety, stabilize your cholesterol, and all but prevent depression. Now, what was this magical drug Dr. Worthington discovered? Well, the answer, he said, was forgiveness. You see, in his research, Dr. Worthington and his fellow psychologists followed a series of participants for several years, and they measured how the participants' forgiveness levels ebbed and flowed. Now, not surprisingly, they found that as participants forgave more, their stress reduced in their life, and as their stress reduced, their mental health improved, and as their mental health improved, their physical health improved as well. And forgiveness, he said, is a true mind-body connection. Its benefits are unmistakable. Now, I'm guessing none of that surprises you. Now, after all, forgiveness, it's at the very core of who we are as the Christian church. Forgiveness is at the center of everything we do as a faith community. It's mentioned over 150 times in the Bible, in both the Old and the New Testament. We're told time and time again that we should forgive others. We're told that we ourselves have been forgiven. Jesus came preaching a message of forgiveness, and with his dying breath, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgiveness is just who we are as the body of Christ. It is our gift to the world. That's why we're beginning this new sermon series on the topic of forgiveness, a topic where we are going to wrestle with that hard question: how is it that we forgive others? How is it that we ourselves have been forgiven? Because you see, the fastest way to improve the quality of your life was to offer forgiveness. It is that simple. But of course, it's not that easy. Because even though when we know it's the right thing to do, we know we're called to offer it to other people, sometimes forgiveness is the hardest thing to give. Maybe you heard the story of Eugene Kern. He's a German electrician who 14 years ago made the decision to plant an elderberry bush at the edge of his property in the small suburb he lived in just outside of Munich. Now, Kern's neighbors objected to the bush. They said, in fact, it was on their property. Kern disagreed. His neighbors got upset and they built a fence 12 feet tall dividing the property line, removing the bush. Kern got mad. He built an even larger fence with barbed wire on top and security cameras. The neighbor sued. He returned in kind with his own civil lawsuit, and from there, things got out of hand. Rocks were thrown over the fence. Neighbors showed up in each other's yards with clubs and chainsaws. Gardens were flooded. Weeds were secretly sown into the grass. 14 years later, and now Eugene Kern is retired, living at home, spending his days in his security bunker, watching film. And why did that happen? How did that argument escalate? Well, it all started with an elderberry bush and a refusal to forgive. As we know, forgiveness, it's the right thing to do. We know we are only hurting ourselves by hanging on to that pain, and yet sometimes it is so hard to let go. So Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often do I have to forgive them? As many as 7 times? You know, the very fact that Peter has to ask this question, well, it shows he's not very good at forgiveness. After all, if this came natural to him, if he was naturally good at forgiving other people, well, he wouldn't have to ask Jesus, "Lord, how often do I forgive?" If he were naturally good at forgiving other people, he would just do it. This isn't easy for him. It's hard for Peter to let go. It's hard for him to offer that kind of grace to someone else. He's like us. He wants to hold grudges. He wants to hold on. And what do you do then? What do you do when you want to get rid of the pain of the past, but you just can't? You know it's not healthy. You know that anger, it's slowly eating away at your soul, but for the life of you, you can't get over it. They say that not forgiving someone else is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. What happens when you drink the poison anyway? I remember a woman coming into my office once saying to me, "David, you know, I just don't think I will ever be able to forgive my ex-husband and for all the pain that he caused me." She said, "I don't think I'll ever be able to get over the lies he said about me, for the ways he hurt those I care about the most. I don't think I'll ever be able to do it." "So here's what I do," she says. She said, "Every morning when I get up, I always begin by taking 5 minutes and thanking God for my blessings. I begin by thanking God for my children, thanking God for a new day. I try not to take those things for granted." And then she said, "As soon as I thank God for my blessings, I ask God to give me the strength to offer forgiveness for today. I say, 'God, please don't let this have power over me today. God, give me the strength to let go today. God, give me the strength to forgive today.' I say the same prayer," she said, "every day. Lord," Peter asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? And Jesus replied, "Not 7 times, I tell you, but 7 times 70, which is another way of saying there is no end to this kind of forgiveness. Now notice, for Jesus, forgiveness is not something we offer once and for all and then it's over. Instead, for Jesus, forgiveness appears to be more of a daily decision that we make again and again and again. It's that moment when we wake up and we greet the day. We say, God, give me the strength not to hold on today. God, give me the strength not to let this have power over me today. Because you see, while it's true, sometimes forgiveness can happen in a moment, more often than not, it is a journey. Forgiveness, it's a slow and a wandering process through all the pain and the grief that will eventually lead to healing. After all, when your fists have been clenched for so long, it can take time to open them back up again. And that's how we forgive when things are hard. That's how we forgive when we don't want to forgive. You don't try to do it all at once. Instead, you ask for the strength for today. You ask for the strength to wake up the next morning and say, God, don't let this have power over me. How often do you do it? Well, as long as it takes, Jesus says. 7 times 70. And sometimes that's just what forgiveness looks like. I'm reminded of the story of the Israelites in the wilderness, where for 40 years they wandered looking for the promised land. You see, the Israelites knew that there was a better way of living in the world. They knew that God had something else in store for them. But the story says the Israelites did not get there all at once. Instead, every day they got up and they moved just a little bit closer to that promised land. Every day they got up and they made the decision to keep moving forward. And in the morning, God would provide manna for the journey. And in the evening, God provided quail from heaven. And it was enough. God's provision for that journey was enough. Now, I don't know what hurt you've been hanging on to for too long. I don't know what poison you have been drinking. I don't know what keeps you up at night, tossing and turning, or what angers you and keeps you from being able to move forward. But I do know this. I know there's a better way of living in the world. I know that you don't have to live like that anymore. Because Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you in abundance. An abundant life means a life free from the pain and the hurt of the past. Now, forgiveness, it might not happen all at once for you. But slowly, slowly, every day, we journey together towards that promised land. Lord, Peter asked, Lord, how often should I forgive? And Jesus replied by saying, as long as it takes. As long as it takes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, wherever we are on this journey, we pray for the strength to continue. We thank you, O God, for your provision that has brought us to this point, and for the faith we have in you that will lead us forward. God, help us to forgive, and help us to remember that indeed we have been forgiven. Amen.